Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Proximity to me over fame and fortune is definitely what most financial advisors would recommend.
Afternoons on the Score.
What's up, MTV? Come on in, you broke. What you're stepping on is a marble foyer that was cut out of none other than Space Mountain. Look at my chandelier. It's $2 million. It's made out of expensive chicken dinners I've eaten over the years from baller-ass restaurants. Come with me. You'll notice here, these are some African statues. I don't really f*** with Africa because people are starving to death and that's not baller to me. Come on,
Houston has created a deja vu all over again situation. 5-1 Astros on top of the White Sox in the fourth inning. They did it once. They can do it again. We will continue to update you on game four of the American League Division Series. But it is time for our first edition, Trading Spaces Stadium Edition.
I feel like friends of ours are going to be building a new house soon. You know, they happen to be the McCaskey family looking to move, maybe not till 2026, but they're getting an early jump and they're going to have a brand new house, an NFL stadium, and we're going to come over. You know, a lot of us are going to go visit. And I, for one, would like a warm and happy welcome to a beautiful and convenient building. So I had the opportunity to see Allegiant Stadium in Vegas. And I think any one of us from now on, when we see a new football stadium, ought to be taking notes with these kind of things in mind.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I can tell you what I liked about the sports book, which was everything. I can tell you which of the 10 Coronas was my favorite. But that's not really going to help the McCaskies with a $3 billion stadium.
Unless they put that sports book in the stadium,
that's
which
true.
May well be the plan by 2026.
Then they should call me.
And maybe they will. For now, Allegiant Stadium, built on 62 acres, right? There's like 6,000 parking spots. 326 acres in Arlington Heights is what they just bid on. So that gives you an idea for the absurd largesse that's possible for what the Bears want to do.
And that matters a lot because space should, in theory, help with convenience.
Yes. So 65,000 seats at Allegiant, expandable up to 71.9, which gets you to the Super Bowl.
Okay, it does. So,
yes.
So 70 is the threshold for the Super Bowl?
I believe that is the case. Surface, grass, a roll-in field like they have in Glendale, above a field turf field, which UNLV uses. I love this. They don't let UNLV use their precious Raiders grass. So they roll in their own grass, which they keep outside the stadium, freshly watered while UNLV is playing on lowly turf. Not sensible for what the Bears are going to do because it's not warm enough to have turf that rolls out.
Yeah, that's how they do it, I think, in Arizona.
Yes.
As well. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But thought that was interesting. Open air.
Bears would most likely just do field turf.
I would think, right? Unless they find some way to do the hybrid, like the DD Grassmaster hybrid that Green Bay has, with which they would need sunlight. So is the dome retractable to let sunlight in so they can
do
that?
Or is there no dome?
Here's what we'll have. open air is now a thing everywhere. You know, in Minnesota, they have the open air as part of it. At SoFi Stadium in L.A., there's open air that's part of it. Somehow, they find a way to do it. Allegiant Stadium has a translucent roof, so sunlight comes in. I don't know if that's feasible for snow and ice, but the translucent roof was interesting, and these giant retractable windows that allow you to see to the strip. It's behind the Al Davis Eternal Flame, which is a very strange thing.
That's a weird sentence. You can see the Vegas Strip behind the Al Davis Eternal Flame is a weird sentence.
Just reporting the facts. But somehow having open air so you can bring in the outside air and have it feel like you're outside even while you're protected, I think is something that we're going to want to see. It's too steep. Talk to people who sat in the 300 level. Those high sections, maybe because they squeezed it into just 62 acres. If you're going to build it big, don't build it so damn steep. People were uncomfortable and afraid to lean down from the ones I talked to.
Okay. I would be surprised if that was an acreage issue as more of just like an architectural choice to have people like as close to the field as possible as in terms of like spreading out, or if there is some sort of... I would be interested in knowing why they would do that. That feels like a fairly easy one to avoid, but I'm sure there is some sort of architectural reason for it.
And this was the way at guaranteed rate early on, and then they changed it. Famously, a couple years in, they made some changes, so maybe that'll still happen. Here's the big problem with Allegiant. There was Soldier Field.
Tanny has taken this idea and absolutely run with it. Trading Spaces, Stadium Edition.
All right, access. This is under the access category.
Okay,
Tanny.
You know, you guys know those home improvement shows, the HGTV shows. You know, Love It or List It, Windy City Rehab. What you would want? What you want to keep? The whole thing. That's what Spiegel's doing.
That's
here.
What we're doing here.
All right.
So there is a Soldier Field level of walking that needs to take place with 20,000 of your closest friends.
Knock it off.
Ridiculous. You have to go over a bridge. I think our cabbie screwed us, and he said, I can only take you this far. Because there's no way that you can't take a cab or an Uber there. I later found out that all the streets right around it are very small and very narrow. So most Ubers and cabs will fight to not take you all the way there.
Oh, because then they get trapped.
Correct. Hmm. So that is some terrible traffic design. Don't do this. Don't force your people to walk. I saw elderly and limping people, you know, on the way back.
Ah, those limpers.
I hate them. But those damn limping people. Some old,
ew,
some young.
Ew, you saw limpers?
I don't have a problem
in
with
the
them.
Wild? I hate seeing limpers in the wild.
I felt bad for them, Danny. And they were screwed over by Mark Davis.
Limping people.
The Allegiant Stadium designers. So don't make people walk a ridiculous amount. Build more parking if you need to. And pay a lot for parking if you need to, folks, if you're going to Allegiant Stadium. Once in, it was very seamless to get around. Wide concourse, very comfortable. There was a brutal bottleneck at one point where a condiment stand went way too far into the concourse. Come on, people.
Oh no.
You can't have that. The concessions were all cashless. No. All cashless at point of purchase, it's a no-brainer now. We've figured this out as a society, how to go cashless. So
even the limpers? Limpers have figured that out? The elderly and the limpers?
I didn't see any limpers with concessions, now that I think of it.
Yeah, that's derogatory and offensive.
Great beer selection, fast cashless lines. Let me ask you this. When you go to get food, do you ever notice that there's only one or two beer selections at the food stand, while right next to you is the beer stand with 1,000 selections of beers, or in this case, 10 or 12?
Yeah.
What the hell is that about? Don't do this, Arlington Heights. When you're building, if I'm going to wait in line for a hot dog and popcorn or whatever, let me have the full selection of beer as my option as well, not just the limited selection.
I wonder if there's a supply chain. Like, I have have a very good friend who studied thing like that type, and maybe supply chain isn't the type of.
Wait, let's,
all right, hold on a second.
Okay, you had a good friend who studied things. Just one.
Studied supply chain. Supply chain management. I didn't complete the thought because I aborted the thought because I wasn't sure if those two things were necessarily related.
But I understand what you're saying, that like in the concession game, maybe you have to have only the certain amount of beers. If we're selling Coors, you can only have Coors.
Yeah, right. If the sponsorship says we pay to be the only beer vendor where you can also get the hot dogs or whatever, and then everybody else that pays to just be in the stadium,
yes.
I can be at the beer stand, but I can't be with the other most popular items. And I don't think that is supply chain management. I think that would come under like corporate sponsorships and synergy and things like that.
That makes sense, though.
I do think that that's a thing.
That makes total sense. I would say to our friends the McCaskies, don't make that deal. Allow the convenience for people to actually
cross that suggestion off the list.
Well,
they'll take as much money as they possibly can. But I hear you.
I'm trying to save them.
I'm
trying to help them out here.
Okay.
All right. The multimedia within the stadium. There are two smaller screens from my vantage point, and it turns out there's four, one in each corner, and it's a very large TV screen, but there is no gigantic screen as big and pervasive as SoFi Stadium or as Dallas, and I thought I liked it at first, but by the end of the first quarter, I knew that I did not. You need a gigantic screen. When you are building a stadium, you need something that is so overwhelming and so obvious and easy for people to see because you need binoculars at a football game. And what you're competing with is me on my couch. You are competing with that. If I'm going to choose to spend money on season tickets or whatever, I need to have the option of at least sitting there and watching for a little while like that so I don't strain to see what is not the best game to be far away from, frankly.
Yeah, you can't ask a limper to also be a squinter. That's not right. You gotta allow a limper to not squint in that spot. Give a limper a big screen.
I think that's true. We do like screens, and our eyes need them. And I admit at this point, I am a squinter. Hashtag old. Have a great sound system. I was disappointed in the Vegas sound system. Why not have speakers localized in your section with a manageable volume, like the equivalent of a Sonos in your section? As opposed to what they had, which felt like a giant, huge blasting sound from way above at Allegiant Field, and good luck to the sound waves to carry down to everybody. That's certainly the way that it felt. I was highly disappointed in the sound system.
All right, so who is managing the volume of the volume in your level, then? Who gets to manage that?
Yeah, so
only the best of us, the non-limpers of us, get to manage that?
Non-limpers, non-squinters. No, there could be a standardized level for the Sonos that is directly above your section. But, Tanny, there was some incredible music, which I'll get to here in a second, that we didn't hear with enough clarity. It was not dominant enough because of a woeful sound system.
I get it.
In Vegas!
I get it, yeah, but I was wondering who gets to manage it. That's all I'm wondering.
Me.
John Gruden's new job.
Yeah. On those screens, by the way, don't give me the cheerleaders, in this instance, the Raiderettes. I need to feel like I'm not missing out. Give me highlights of other games, which they did on occasion. Give me highlights of the game that I'm here for that happened just, 10 minutes ago during the commercial break. Now, I'm telling you, nobody wants to see, I apologize to the cheerleaders, but people are not there to see the Raiderettes and to see other sort of in-stadium wackiness. I want more game, and I want more game on the screens.
Well, you should have stayed at the sports book. I had a lot of games. There were games everywhere.
That's fair. That's fair.
You actively chose to not watch the other games.
I did.
I love that. I could definitely hear him saying that to Christine right now. Don't you hate that they're showing this? These Raider cheerleaders? What's going on here? Yeah. I'm here to watch football, for God's sakes.
I don't like the mild nudity that's being forced upon me.
I'm not buying this bit that you're selling.
I do kind of buy it because Speak is always making it about the game guy, so yes. I do kind of buy that.
Yeah. Give me more game. I want more highlights.
Their game. You want more of their game?
Well, what I'm competing with, though,
Give me
Tanny,
playoff baseball.
that would have been nice, but give me the feel like I'm not missing out on an afternoon of Red Zone and following along in my fantasy leagues.
You're good. The number one thing that blew me away in your review of this and that I saw on social media was the walk.
The walk is pervasive.
How you could build a stadium so close to the Vegas Strip, yet so far with no one having any ability to access a car to get from the north end of the strip to the south end of the strip.
The only reason I hustled past it in the review is because it feels very specific to Vegas and this idiocy, although it does compare with what people have to deal with right now for Bears games.
And I don't know how many NFL stadiums you've been to. I've been to a lot of them. The vast majority are not convenient. Foxborough, a nightmare. Giant Stadium, a nightmare. Soldier Field, obviously, a nightmare. Getting 80,000 people into one place and then having them all leave at once is never going to be logistically easy. But I'll tell you, the most convenient stadium I've ever been to
is Arrowhead.
By far.
And this is what the McCaskies need to follow is you've got this huge patch of land. If you're going to be doing this on the 326 acres, you need to surround it with parking lots and access points, multiple different ways to leave the area. Use your space. Put it in the middle, right, of your big patch of land, and then multiple roads taking you out to preferably multiple highways.
And that is not to say that Arrowhead doesn't have traffic after games. Of course, again, it will. It's 80,000 people leaving one location. But you can get multiple areas to get to parking, multiple access points, like you're saying, to leave. And Arlington Heights should have an advantage of, with the train there, public transit, that should take some people away that way, and then you could do parking and driving in the other direction. But to me, top two things that a new stadium needs to do. It's got to be as convenient as possible, because like you said, you're competing with the couch.
Yes.
It has to be as easy in and easy out as you could possibly make it. And then the in-stadium screen, I want to be able to check my fantasy team. I want to have good Wi-Fi. I want to see highlights. Like, the screen experience needs to be perfect.
And this was a brand new stadium.
And it's perfect at Cowboys Stadium, by the way.
And it's perfect. It's not perfect at all in Vegas.
Okay.
Not perfect at all. Very disappointed in that.
It looks really good at SoFi, by the way.
It looks great at SoFi.
The screens look great there.
No, I was disappointed in both the screen setup and the volume of information that was there. There was a scroll of fantasy performers, a scroll of top performers. So that's good. They give me equivalent of a bottom line on a thing going around, but it's not enough.
Someone on Twitch says everyone has a phone. You don't need that during a game. It's dumb. These stadiums have such terrible Wi-Fi that having some ability to get that on the screen in the stadium, I do think is important.
I think it's massively important because you're paying a high premium to try and have a mindful experience and simply not look down. Like at the sports book, they had all that stuff up there, so you don't have to look down at your phone.
That's exactly right.
So, and this is what the NFL stadium should be competing with. Unique local features, because it's Vegas, there was a live band there underneath the Al Davis Eternal Flame, a very big band with, like, I noticed, real string section, real horn section. In a town full of musicians, I appreciated that.
Nice.
For Vegas, and there were some singers doing stuff, somebody like covering Fight Song and all these other things. And then at the halftime, hey, it's Ludacris. Ludacris was there at halftime. But it's Vegas, so you got to have some wacky local flavor. I forget who was playing guitar for the anthem. I meant to look it up. Some dude was playing solo guitar for the anthem, a Hendrix-style guitar, and it was good. But again, it wasn't loud enough and was not in my head. Two more quick things here. Needless expenditures. Number one, seemed to be a lot of money spent on air conditioning. It's okay. It can be a little hotter. You don't have to be like, I needed a jacket at a football game in Vegas. That felt ridiculous.
Oh, no, you're
am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Okay.
Vegas can be 115 degrees.
It's
a desert. Like, okay.
What are we setting at? I wanted to turn it up. It was like 64 degrees.
I'm just saying, they want to make that a year-round facility.
Yeah.
You can't have an event at Allegiant Stadium in July or August if you don't have awesome air conditioning.
Okay.
You're off on that one.
Well, you know, it was too cold.
I'm telling you, you're off on that one.
And then this. All right. Well, and then have you seen this? They have a massive 275-foot video screen on the outside of the stadium.
I did see that. That seems dangerous.
It's so people driving by on the interstate can see that there's something going on there, and sometimes they play football games on that thing. I wanted it inside the stadium. I'm at the stadium. I'm inside, and I want to see that. They put their giant screen on the outside.
Yeah, questionable. And not in an area where, like, I'm thinking of, like, when the Bucks were in the finals and they had 20,000 people or 60,000 people, I think it was 60,000, outside, and then they put up big screens. Was there like a big area that in theory people can congregate if you were hosting, you know, a watch party for a Super Bowl or a Final Four or something like that? Was that part of it?
There was a big beer garden area sponsored by Modelo. That was the huge beer sponsor.
By the screen?
I don't think it was by the screen, to your point. It did not strike me that it was right there. And where it is, it's facing the highway. There's some parking lot that they could use for that kind of thing if they ever wanted to use it. But it was like, it was very showy, Vegas-y look. I have a fancy screen, but not really anything good for the people inside.
Okay. Well, so that's interesting. I love that your unnecessary expenditure was
air conditioning.
Was climate control in a desert. Now, it's absolutely possible that it was too cold at the game that you were at in October. That is absolutely.
Well, they want you to buy a sweatshirt.
Yeah, maybe so.
Sure, absolutely.
Oh, that was Neil Schon of Journey. Thank you very much. That's who that was, the lead guitar player from Journey, who was rocking out hard, and it was a very fun version of the anthem, but not loud enough. I wanted to feel it in my bones, Vegas. Amp up the sound system.
That is Matt Spiegel, Trading Spaces, Stadium Edition, Allegiant Stadium. We're going to try to compile ideas, notes, tidbits, information, suggestions for the McCaskey family if, in fact, they're going to build a new stadium in Arlington Heights. It's the top of the fifth inning. Astros one out, but they are still on top. 5-1 over the White Sox. Ryan Tepera into the game for Tony La Russa.
Texter says, my ankle is fused from a motorcycle accident 15 years ago. I am a limper. Please don't make me walk.
Yeah.
That's you we're looking out for, sir.
Moving walkways.
Limpers and squinters.
For the limp. He's like, I saw the elderly. I saw limpers.
Uh-huh.
What? Oh, my God. I did. Limpers.
Felt bad for them.
You're an empathetic dude. There's a story that I saw that is just so quintessential NFL fan that we just need to share it with the masses because it's objectively hilarious. Next on The Score.
Harkins and Spiegel Show Flashback.
Hey, Danny, I don't know about the Bears. No, I'm really a Chiefs fan. I'm just calling in to say thank you to Chicago, to the Chicago Bears, for letting Patrick Mahomes slip to Andy Reid, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. Sit back. You're going to have a long offseason, so why don't you just sit back, come over here, and come enjoy the show, the best show in the world, which is the Kansas City Chiefs and the soon-to-be greatest quarterback of all time. Thank you, Bears.
Shut up.
I forgot that call. Bottom of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Well, he's not really wrong about much of what he said in that call for being totally honest. Story out of Kansas City that I want to get to in a second, but Lance McCullers pulled from the game?
74 pitches. Excuse me, 73 pitches, 4 innings. A little bit of hard contact last inning, but very surprised by it. I wonder if he is surprised by it. They're showing McCullers in the dugout right now. If you're the White Sox, you know, this
down
is
down 5-1.
You love it. You love seeing this. You absolutely love this. You're like, oh, okay, we can hit everybody else. Great. Thank you.
Astros bullpen has been very hittable this series.
Yeah. If you're going to roll him out there to, you know, be the hammer and end the series here, like, why pull him early?
He's the guy that you let define his own leash. He's your guy. You know, more than Framber, would have been Greinke, and it's certainly not.
Is this just a straight? Because, I mean, Anderson's, he's leading off, right? Yes. Yeah, so is it just a straight? We're not letting him get through three times in the order for the second time they've seen him this series. So it would be the, you know, fifth and sixth look at him for most of these guys.
I mean, look, Dusty has evolved and is open to all, you know, those kinds of things and the modern thinking and the way the game has changed. But this is a very, very quick hook.
Is this, want to make sure I have him sooner than later in the ALCS?
That was the other thing I was
better
saying.
Better not be.
Like a game two ALCS type of situation?
Better not be. That'd be a really dumb thing to do. He's not that dumb. I feel like it's just that Dusty has evolved into what he has become, but the main knock on him is going the other way. He lost a World Series because he left Russ Ortiz in too long. So he has forever been trying to kind of rebuild his credibility, and unsuccessfully so, frankly, in the postseason. This is a very quick hook.
All right, well, a little bit of life at Guaranteed Rate Field as McCullers pulled, and you've got... So five, six, seven. Yeah, 15 outs to make up four runs. Mm-hmm. Came back from down 5-1 in game three. Can certainly do it again. Let's see if the White Sox can get there. But there, you know, the John Gruden NFL story is a very serious one. We are obviously very excited around here about Justin Fields and the Bears prospects. But I wanted to paint a picture for you, Spiegs, of NFL superfans. They're a weird bunch.
And I saw a bunch in Vegas, saw like the dude at the Raider game who dresses like a predator, the other guy with the silver face and the spiky hair.
Like the movie Predator, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And saw these guys like walking around with their significant others. That was entertaining. Like, because you're thinking like, oh, what's it like to be the wife of the Raiders predator? What's that life
what's
like?
What's Mrs. Bear Man like?
Yeah, putty. I'm a face painter.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. You're like, oh.
Gotta support the team.
You don't give that up early in the relationship. You wait till she's entrenched before you let that one go.
Or that's how you meet. You know what I mean?
These are like your options.
It's either the first thing someone knows about you, or it's the 101st thing someone knows about you. I don't think there could be any in between.
I like Fever Pitch, the movie, a lot, based on the book by Nick Hornby. And in the movie, it's like Drew Barrymore and what's his name? Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
Are dating for a while before it's baseball season. And he's like, oh, uh-oh, now she's going to see me as a baseball
fan. The worst
fan.
Side of me.
Yo, this is not going to be good.
So in Kansas City, there's this guy named X-Factor. He calls himself X-Factor. Mob. It's what you would think. He wears a cheese head, but it's painted red. And he writes in yellow X-Factor on it. He wears a cape. He wears all sorts of over-the-top Chiefs memorabilia. He is at every game. He is at the vast majority of road games. And his entire life is the Chiefs. He would always show up at radio remotes or whatever. I've had way too many experiences and interactions in my life with X-Factor than I'd be happy to recount, frankly. He is kind of the worst. But this story from Fox 4 in Kansas City, you also always see these stories of fan fights at stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
And it's normally like, oh, a Raiders fan and a Bears fan, or, you know, a Vikings fan and a Lions fan, or Giants fan and a Dodger fan. No, no, no. This is Chief fan on Chief fan crime. And I don't know what my favorite part of this is, courtesy of Fox 4 Kansas City.
Fighting in the stands of Arrowhead Stadium is all over social media, this time with an odd twist. I'm John Holt.
And I'm Christelle Bell. You know, before it was fans brawling as the Chiefs took on the LA Chargers. Last night it was super fans squaring up early in the game against the Buffalo Bills. Fox 4's Jacob Kittlestad joins us live from Arrowhead after hearing from both so-called super fans. Jake?
Well, if you spend any time around here on game day, you're likely to be aware of at least one of these men. The man known as the X Factor has been around for decades. He's the one seen in the video getting knocked down by another man who the people of Section 129 may know as Red Extreme.
This is the X Factor about 6 years ago, meeting and whooping it up with young Chiefs fans. And this is X Factor today. Only recognizable by his foam hat.
The Broncos colors from the hospital. They kicked me out of Arrowhead. First time ever X-Factor's been kicked out.
We don't have permission to show the video of the X-Factor falling after an apparent punch, but it has nearly a million views on Twitter. The X-Factor explains what happened from his perspective and who is involved.
He's my old apprentice. I actually made him famous. You know, gave him the name Red Extreme. I saw him come run up the stairs at me, and he had that look, I'm going to kill you. And so I like tried to grab his jersey to stop him and talk to him, and he, like the movie Friday, he deboed me one punch, and I saw stars. They took me to triage at Arrowhead, checked me out. I felt all right at the time, but then I didn't know I'd broke my ribs.
Red Extreme posted a 17-minute video message to his Facebook page following the incident. He says, a cup of water was thrown and hit my wife in the back and splashed onto me. He continues, I have never in my life felt so bad about feeling so good because knocking that low-life son of a expletive out was the greatest feeling I've had in a long time. My problem is it happened inside the stadium, and I never imagined in my life I would behave in that manner in the stadium. He also accuses the X Factor of being inebriated.
It says that I'm a meth addict, which I'm a cocaine addict and alcoholic. Been clean for 4 years. He said I threw a water bottle at him, which I didn't. And I flipped my car a week ago Tuesday. So it's been a wild week.
Are you thinking about retiring now?
No. This makes me stronger. Jesus, you know, Jesus was persecuted. I'll come back fighting.
Is looking to press charges at this point, but throughout the day we did try to connect directly with Red Extreme, but were turned down. However, immediately before our broadcast, we spoke by phone, and he stressed that anything that the X Factor says should be taken with a big dose of skepticism, and that he himself actually stepped away from the superfan community because of his distrust and distaste of X Factor's behavior. Christelle.
Oh my
God.
Where
would you guys like to begin?
I'd like to start with the super fan community.
Yeah, sure, of course.
Like, there's a place where they all hang out, an island where they're all welcome.
Well, you have to understand, Red Extreme is X Factor's apprentice. He gave him the name Red Extreme. Everybody knows that in the Marvel Chiefs fan universe.
The apprentice. So what do you do if you're X Factor's apprentice? Paint a picture of X Factor, would you? I mean, the picture that we had in this thing is X Factor walking around with his X Factor hat wearing blue scrubs because he was at the hospital.
Oh, they're Bronco colors. Shut up, you dork.
But he usually wears what? A flowing red robe.
He wears a giant X for a hat. Face paint that borders on war paint. He definitely is not one to take cultural appropriation lightly. Lots of red and yellow Chiefs gear. He looks like a NASCAR car with all of the sponsorships on it, except it's all just different Chiefs gear.
Wow.
Pins.
He says that I'm a meth addict, which I'm a cocaine addict and alcoholic.
Sure, we can move there.
I like that
a lot. That's an important distinction and clarification.
Yeah, how dare you say that I'm a meth addict, sir? How dare you? I am a cocaine addict.
and an alcoholic.
And an alcoholic. And I flipped my car a week ago Tuesday. But I've been sober for 4 years. Not buying it, X Factor.
All right, so another part that I particularly enjoyed, because, you know, X Factor doesn't take himself too seriously or anything, saying, well, Jesus was persecuted.
You know, Jesus was persecuted. I'll come back fighting.
Okay, yeah, X Factor, Jesus. Listen, I'm not much for religion, but I really can't tell the difference.
I don't think Jesus came back fighting. I think Jesus came back very peacefully. As a matter of fact.
That's true.
Right?
That's a weird interpretation.
He did not come back fighting. Jesus went down, and then he came back very peaceful and very calm.
Very hip and modern of him, though, to quote Friday. I thought that was a nice touch in there. And,
Yeah, so where was the movie Friday quote? Where's that quote?
Tanny, how did he introduce the clip? He said that he just knocked...
He got deboed.
Deboed, yes. He got deboed.
Not daboed.
No. Very, very, very much not. I also would like to add, they left this out of the Casey Fort report.
Yeah.
X Factor has a Twitter handle where he's giving some of his side of the story, and this adds another layer to it, guys. Thinking about a guy who maybe overshares. You ready for this?
Yeah.
The man who knocked me out, a.k.a. The guy who knocked out me, a.k.a. X Factor. Talking about himself in the third person. The guy who knocked out me, a.k.a. X Factor, is Red Extreme, who is right in front of me in this photo. The feud started 18 years ago. So here you go, Speaks. That's X Factor. That's Red Extreme. There's X Factor. The feud started 18 years ago.
With Sherm Edwards, by the way.
With Herm Edwards.
Oh, my God. Not Sherm Lawler.
Yeah.
Sherm Feller.
It's Herm Edwards.
Herm Edwards. Thank you.
The feud started 18 years ago when he slept with the mother of my child behind my back.
Oh.
Thank you for sharing, X Factor.
That'll do it.
So 18 years later.
His super fan apprentice had the audacity to sleep with the mother of his child.
Yeah. So... when you see these fights at NFL stadiums, normally you think, oh, it's just opposite fandoms and a little bit too much booze.
Might be more backstory than you think.
In this case, it's baby mama drama, Jesus aspirations, the failed story of an apprentice, and not meth, but cocaine.
I think I'm curious as to what the role of the X Factor apprentice is, and does he currently have one as well? I'm going to need help building my next hat. I ran out of red face paint. Can you track some down for me?
Either this thing of ours has meaning or it doesn't. They don't even take a blood oath over there. It's ridiculous what X Factor.
This is how you cheer. This is when you get up and really get the crowd going.
We talked to Joe Ostrowski. Wow. Bears, not a huge dog into the pack. Why were the Sox favored over the Astros and more with Joe O next on The Score.
Joseph, come on!
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Joe Ostrowski.
We couldn't live without Joe Ostrowski.
That being said, I hate Joe Ostrowski.
So, Ostrowski?
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Joe Ostrowski with Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Our conversations with Joe O brought to you by PointsBet. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. What up, Joe?
Oh, I don't know if I'm more disappointed in the White Sox, you using the X Factor content during the Sox game, or Spieg's actually going to the game on Sunday.
Going to the game on Sunday was a questionable choice, wasn't it?
I thought for sure that Spieg's would be saying, oh, you know, I just decided last minute, great time. Had by all, I just couldn't leave my guys.
Well, you know, here's the thing.
He left us.
My wife was with me, Joe, and I thought that she would have a hell of a lot more fun experientially going to the game, and then she and I could spend some time together. So truth be told, that ended up playing a part of it. I'm glad I went because different perspectives for the show. Who goes to NFL games? Usually not us.
Not me.
Never. Ever. Yeah. It better be an island game before I even consider it.
That's 100% correct. Joe, why... Why were the White Sox favored in this game?
I don't know. I have some guesses. Rodon, great history when healthy against the Astros. Home teams have performed very well in the playoffs. I was just looking the last 7 days. They are 11-4 straight up, and they probably knew they would get some White Sox money. Huge fan base, people hoping for a fifth game. But I don't think there's any way McCullers performed earlier in this series that it should have been a coin flip or the White Sox as slight favorites, which is exactly what happened today.
Are you watching the live in-game odds, Joe O?
From time to time, I haven't checked. I'll check now. I haven't checked today because I didn't get mad.
I'm sorry for the big left turn, but I'm just I'm curious to what happened with the in-game odds when Lance McCullers Jr. got taken out of the game after four innings. You know, because it's fascinating because you can look at all the baseball stuff like that in-game, and it changes rapidly sometimes.
It certainly does. And you, if you played the run line, you would. If you want to take the Astros, you have to lay 4.5 runs. So you need them to win by 5 runs. If you were to take the White Sox to win, plus 850. So if you bet 100, you would win $850. We have 6 runs in the game, top of the 6, and the total is 9.5, just 1 run higher than where we started.
Talking to Joe Ostrowski on behalf of PointsBet. White Sox again trailing the Astros 5-1 in game 4. Ryan Tepera in facing Jose Altuve in the top of the 6th, 1 out and a runner on second base. What did you make of the opening line for Bears and Packers where the Bears are a 4-point underdog at home?
I was a little surprised. Yeah, we're 4.5, and the total is 45. But you think back to what we saw on Sunday with Green Bay, and it was fascinating because that was one of those pros versus Joes game. All the pros in the world were taking Cincinnati, so much that it went from 3.5 to 2 or 2.5, and the public was all over the Packers, of course, such a short spread. They're going to bet on Aaron Rodgers. Packers ended up covering, but with all the Crosby misses, they really tried to give that game up. I think it does make a little bit of sense. Now, we're used to Aaron Rodgers rolling into Soldier Field, and he's favored by 7 points, but with the Crosby issues last week, and for the Bears, talk about great timing. I don't know if the Gruden thing had anything to do with the Raiders' performance on Sunday, but it probably didn't hurt. And now you look at the state of Green Bay right now. They're missing their all-pro left tackle. They're missing a Pro Bowl offensive lineman. I think 3 of their 5 starters were out. And they're missing their 2 best defenders, including cornerback Jair Alexander. They have not been explosive on offense to start the season. So
I think you add that up, and that would explain the shorter line of 4.5, and all of a sudden the Bears have rattled off a couple of victories. What I do find noteworthy, Danny, is the Bears are the biggest under team in the NFL. There are 8 teams that are 4-1 to the under, but the Bears are going under by 7.8 points, more than anybody else in the NFL. And the number, the total here is still in the mid-40s.
Yeah, Joe, I had the Bears and the under on Sunday. Just thinking about that defense and about the style that they're going to play. And that was going to be my next question for you on then the under. So I'm not surprised to hear that, because they're going to be slowing it down and every once in a while opening it back up. And the way that defense is playing, you expect to see those numbers plummet. And how low can they go?
You can run on the Packers. You have the perfect recipe as far as the Bears side, right? They're not explosive on offense. Yards per play, they're dead last. DVOA, they're 31st, but... yeah, I was looking today at Football Outsiders, like, whoa, they're top 5 defensive DVOA. They're top 4 against the pass. So Desai has really turned it around quickly. Now we'll see what you can do against Aaron Rodgers, though.
Joe, what else is jumping out to you on the football slate or in the gambling universe right now?
This past weekend, Survivor.
Yeah.
Insanity. Minnesota, New England, Baltimore, the 3 most popular picks. All of them should have probably lost at some point. The favorites came in for the first time this year. They were 9-7 against the spread. Overs came in 10-6 this week, so big for the public. The MVP, I think, is an interesting storyline because there are 9 names at the top, and then there's just a huge drop-off down to 50, 60-1 to your Joe Burrow types. Danny, Pat Mahomes is 18, 20-1 right now.
Yeah, he's not winning it.
We have 12 games left.
I know, but he's got...
he's going to break records.
I know. What records are... He's got 6 interceptions already. He had 6 all of last year. So if he has double-digit interceptions, I don't know how he gets it when some of these... When Kyler's out there, you know...
And if he ends up with, you know, against Josh Allen, and Josh Allen has beaten him, which will get some voters' minds going.
What make the case then for Mahomes?
Well, they would have to go on a ridiculous run, probably be at least a 3 seed. So that's the tough part there. But I'm just looking at then he has a terrible defense. So he needs to score 40 plus every single game. I just think the numbers might be so gaudy at the end of the season.
They might be. And obviously he's incredible, and they've gone through the tough part, right? Browns, Ravens,
exactly.
Chargers, Bills. Like they've gone through the tough part of the schedule. It gets considerably easier from here. But
4 Super Bowl contenders they just played.
Right. No, I'm with you. Toughest early schedule in the entire league. So it is the buy low point. I'd be more interested personally in a Chiefs future right now than in Mahomes' future, but I understand the argument that you're making. Joe O.
Co-favorites with the Chargers to win the division now.
I know. I got a Chargers Super Bowl future at 33-1 or 35-1 from before the year. But Joe, good stuff as always, man. Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, fellas.
That's Joe Ostrowski on behalf of PointsBet. We got to talk to Hub Arkish here coming up in a
Looking
bit.
Looking forward to that.
Always interesting. Hub next on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.